song. That's everything. You know, sometimes we like the songs that make us go. But I'm going to tell you something. I like the songs that go Christ alone, you know. And I was thinking about it. I love music. And I love music that honors the Lord. And sometimes I hear songs and they have to grow on me. But then when I heard In Christ Alone, I remember the first time I heard it and I thought, boy, what great truth there is in that song. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. We sing another song that says the same thing. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I praise the Lord. I want you to stand with me tonight and take the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. Try to be a time of encouragement just for a few moments tonight. And we'll be out of here by 9 o'clock with the help of the Lord. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." And I want to preach on this thought tonight. For he oft refreshed me. He oft refreshed me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us. We thank you that everything we have, Lord, is in thee. Our hope, our strength, our desire, Lord, may it be found in Christ alone. Lord, I pray that you'll bless now. So we look into thy word. I pray that we'll be helped through it and by it, and we'll learn from it tonight in a mighty way. Lord, what it means to be refreshed and to be refreshing. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. It's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I believe when we study the Bible, when we go all the way back to the beginning, we're going to find that God had a desire for people to be a blessing to others. When the call came to Abraham, there was a holy sanction upon his response to the call. And if you'll remember, the Bible teaches us that God told Abraham that he says, "Thou shalt be a blessing." And then he says, "In thy seed shall all the earth be blessed." Of course, we realize that through the seed of Abraham that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come into the world and that redemption was going to come through that seed. So we understand that. But we see that God told Abraham that he was to be a blessing. And I believe when we think about our lives, when we think about our salvation, our redemption, when we think about all that's included in that, it's the forgiveness of our sins. It's that change of heart, if you will, that change of mind in our soul, you know, that repentance, that change that takes place in our life. And our names being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But like Abraham, I think God wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to refresh others. And he wants us to encourage others and to help others. And you'll enjoy your salvation so much more if you're not rebellious but refreshing. You'll have more Christian friends if you're not always busy rebuking but just being refreshing. You're going to find out that you'll win more souls by not being so repulsive, but by being refreshing. Don't you enjoy being around certain people and then you find yourself avoiding certain people? Is that not the truth? I mean, let's be honest about it tonight. If we really think about it, there are people that we enjoy being around, we look forward to being around, but then there's that group of people. Look, you know, it's like when the phone rings and you hear that voice on the other side, you roll your eyes. Oh, y'all are more spiritual than I am. You know? I remember there was always, and I've not really had this here at all, I can assure you of this, but there was times when I would get phone calls from certain people before I ever moved here, and I'd hear that voice on the other end of the line. Sometimes I'd think, oh, I wonder what it is this time. I wonder what's wrong now. You ever do that with anybody? You know they're not going to call you with something good. It's going to be something bad. And by the way, if you're one of those that's always finding the bad in others and always pointing out the bad in others, well, shame on you. Build a bridge and get over it. Amen? That little old four-year-old boy taught me a great life lesson. Build a bridge and get over it. I like that. But I think about so many people, they're rebellious, they're always rebuking, and they're repulsive. And I believe God, you know, there's times we have to rebuke. We should never rebel, and we should never be repulsive, but there's times we have to rebuke because the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is for that, that we're to rebuke in our preaching and in our teaching. We understand that. But now we see this story here in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul's in prison. He's in chains. He's waiting execution, if you will. When this brother in Christ comes, as Paul writes, and he says, "For he oft refreshed me." I want you to think about where Paul was and what Paul was going through and how he needed a friend. He needed some encouragement. He needed to be refreshed. And here was a Christian that was a refreshing Christian. I want to be that kind of person, don't you? I want to be that kind of person that when people see me come, they don't try to go down the other aisle at Walmart. Or they don't try to go down the other aisle at the grocery store. Or they don't try to go down the other aisle at some place. Or if they see me walking up and down the sidewalk, they don't go across the road. You know? Now some of them are going to go across the road because, you know, they know I'm going to invite them to church. That's all right. But I don't want them to think that I'm repulsing or you know, something like that. I want to be refreshing, and I think that many of us want to be refreshing. Some of us have a really hard time of it. Some of us are always finding the fault and never finding the right. I knew it would be quiet right there, but I thought I'd at least find one amen.
Amen.
I'm going to amen myself tonight. I can already feel it coming on. Paul's in a terrible situation. He needed somebody to refresh him, to encourage him. And here's one, apparently, this wasn't the first time he had helped Paul out. The Bible says, "For he oft refreshed me." You know what? When that prison door opened and Onesiphorus stepped through, you know what Paul did? I guarantee you, with all the strength he had, he smiled. And he thought, "It sure is good to see you." I want people to say that when I come around. "It sure is good to see you." And I know some people don't feel that way about me, and that's my fault. It's not their fault. It's my fault. But I think about so much. Why do we have to get out of God's will and be everything but a refreshing Christian? Why are we satisfied sometimes to hurt instead of to help? Why are we satisfied to expose instead of exalt our Savior? I honestly think that love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. When I love someone, instead of being so busy trying to point out to everybody their sin, I'm going to do my best to talk to them about that sin and to keep it covered and to keep it hidden so it won't be exposed, and let them get it right with God. Exalt the Lord and tell them how that Christ died for their sins, and that even though they're saved maybe and they messed up and they made their mistake, the world don't have to know about that. God knows already. Get it right. Isn't that more refreshing? Wouldn't you rather have a friend like that? That when they heard something about you or they knew a truth about you, that they would think, "They're not going to go tell everybody because they love me." But I promise you, just as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing, if some of you, and I'm not going to say who or what or where or when or how or why, but if some of you were to find out something negative about somebody, the first thing you would do is you'd pick up the phone and call and tell somebody else. And it would go something like this: "Now don't tell anybody." That's not an amen place, that's an oh me place, right? But you understand what I'm saying? We need to be a refreshing Christian. We need to be somebody that people look forward to being around. And certainly, you know, I've had people call me and say, "Look, somebody's going through this problem." And honest, I promise you, I don't tell things about people. I don't, when people come and talk to me, and I've had people talk to me about a friend that they wanted me to go see and say, look, this is what they're going through, you know? Because God's called me to pastor. Sometimes I learn things about people. And then sometimes you won't hear me mention things, or sometimes people will wonder about somebody, and I don't say anything, just simply because really it's nobody else's business. But I think we ought to try to exalt the Lord instead of expose everybody else's faults and everybody else's problems. I think we ought to promote triumph instead of tears. Now, sometimes I believe there needs to be tears of sorrow. I believe there needs to be that tears of repentance where people are sorry for their sins. Not that they got caught. Now, I'm talking about people that are saved and on their way to heaven and they make their mistakes. I believe we ought to be sorry for our sins. Now, most people are sorry that they get caught. They're not sorry that they sinned. They're sorry that somebody found out about it. But here's Paul, who's done nothing wrong. And here's Onesiphorus, coming to see him. Paul knew that when Onesiphorus came, he was coming to refresh him. He wasn't coming to talk bad about everybody, to tell them all that Peter's done wrong or all that's going on. He was just coming to refresh him because Paul needed to be encouraged. Paul needed to be helped. Paul needed to be refreshed. Sometimes there is rebuke needed. Sometimes there is reproof needed. But I tell you, dear friend, there are times when people just need to be refreshed, and we ought to be the kind of people that refresh others. And people will say, man, I'm so glad to have this person as my friend. Boy, you know, when I'm down, I can just call old so-and-so. And when I call them, you know what? All my problems may not be solved, but I've been encouraged in the Lord. Isn't that exciting to think that we can help somebody out a long life's way? There's not a one of us in here tonight that does not have a boatload full of problems. Every one of us are going through difficulties. Every one of us are going through trials. Every one of us are going through tribulations and troubles. Every one of us have things, some that no one else knows about. Maybe you and your spouse, maybe just you, you and just a few other people. But all of us are going through something, and what we need tonight is somebody that'll just love us and let us know that they're praying for us and that just say something encouraging. We need that, don't we? You know, I'm a Baptist, and I know how we Baptists can be sometimes. We're always trying to find the fault. But I believe a good Baptist don't try to find the fault. I believe we try to find a way to help those that are in trouble. We're a hospital for the hurting. We're a help for those that are in trouble. We're a hand that reaches down in the ditch and gets a little bit dirty every now and then trying to pick somebody up. We're the Samaritan that comes along when nobody else will have anything to do with that person that's in the ditch. And they're down there because of troubles, because of something, because of some reason they may be down in the ditch. And instead of looking at them and say, well, you deserve to be down there, but I'll help you up. We go to them and we say, I'm so sorry you had to go through this. You've done some things I know that's hurtful, but you know, God will forgive you. And I love you. Don't we need people like that? I have to work on this. Look, it's fun to gossip. You can say amen, men and women. By the way, I found out, women aren't the only ones that gossip. They're better at it than men because they can say a whole lot more in a whole lot less time. I knew there would not be a man say amen in here when I said that tonight. And I guess it's a good thing we have a guest room at the house. But here's Paul. He's in prison. I'm just going to give you three quick thoughts here. There's a fellow that comes by the name of Onesiphorus. I'll never forget. I came across this word one night, and I was reading it, and I had somebody in our congregation looked at me when I came to that word, and I said, Onesiphorus, and they just looked at me. You know? They said, well, I never figured out how to say that word. I said, well, we need my brother-in-law in here. He could tell us how to say it. My brother-in-law, he can mess up any word. I'm telling you. And so immediately after, he worked with their young people, and immediately after service, I went to him and I said, hey, I'm going to show you a word in the Bible. Tell me how to pronounce it. So I took that over there to him. Now you look at it when I say what I'm getting ready to say. Are you looking at it? I said, what's that say? He said, Juan Savaris. I thought, we've done got Spanish in the Bible, in my English Bible. Juan Savaris. Onesiphorus. He comes and he encourages Paul. And I want you to look at just three thoughts, and I promise you, just briefly, three thoughts. I want you to see what made him such a refreshing person. For he oft refreshed me. Why? Because he was unashamed in his life. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. The Bible says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and looked at this, and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, when you read this, you have to understand. Here was a man that was not ashamed to be a born-again child of God and was not ashamed of his brother in Christ that was in prison. He went to prison to visit Paul, but when he did that, you know what he did? He identified with all that Paul identified with. He didn't go for the purpose of persecuting Paul. He went for the purpose of refreshing Paul, and he identified with all that Paul stood with all that Paul identified with. And dear friends, he was unashamed in his life of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that will help you to be a refreshing Christian is to know whom you have believed in and to be persuaded that he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that the Lord is not ashamed to call me his brother. And when we think about this, the Bible tells me that if I'll not be ashamed of him and his word, then he's not going to be ashamed to confess me before the Heavenly Father. I believe we ought to be unashamed in our lives. How could we ever be ashamed of the one that loved us like Jesus loved us? How could we ever be ashamed of being saved from hell and made citizens of a place called heaven? How could we ever be ashamed of our brothers and sisters in the Lord? By the way, I don't always agree with my brothers and sisters, but I thank God for them. There's people that doctrinally I don't agree with on certain issues, but I love them. I believe they're saved, on their way to heaven. They just messed up on some things, but you know, I love them. I'm not ashamed that they're my brother or my sister in Christ. We ought to be unashamed in our life. We ought to find out. You know, we ought to let people know that we're saved and we're Christians, and because of that, we're always trying to love others. And that, you know, people says, well, how can you love somebody like that? We say, well, God saved me. If it weren't for his grace, I might be as bad as they are. You know, we ought to love sinners. We don't need to become a sinner. But we need to love sinners. That's being a refreshing Christian. I believe the sinners in this world need to be refreshed. I need that. They need something refreshing. Have you seen the news that's going on right now about the mega churches and all? Have you been reading that, watching that? You know? I mean, look. There's places that's got corporate churches, have corporate jets. Houses in Malibu and Tampa and Texas and New York. You know? Now I'd be ashamed if I took the Lord's money and wasted it like that. Now I know the government's stepping in, and I just don't know how I feel about that, because, you know, what's happening is people like that's going to run it for people that's trying to do the right thing. That's false prophets. The Bible teaches us about that. We're just going to stay true to God's word. Went to church yesterday, and I promise you, I wept. I went into a sanctuary that seated 1,500 people. Beautiful sanctuary. Big, grand piano. Beautiful organ. Beautiful pews. Balcony. had everything you could possibly imagine. And in the day, they run 3,000 or 4,000 people. And in just a few weeks, the whole building's going to be demolished. And they're going to put a school there. What happens? Yeah, I know I'm off this. But somewhere along the line, somebody forgot to do the right thing. Somebody failed. Somebody dropped the ball. We may never run 1,000 people, but let's be a place when people come in, we're unashamed of who we are, of what we believe, and of the love we have for whoever it is that walks through the door. Amen. You remember a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night service over there? You'll never forget it if you were here. I won't. It's one of those. I need to write that in my book. I've got funny things. I've got somewhere. I wish I could find it. I've got funny things that have happened while I've been preaching. That was one of those funny things that happened. I got a question, you know. Good night. You know what? I love that lady. I love that lady. I've talked to her a dozen times right out here. She came in that night and she wasn't in her right mind because she had been partaking of something she shouldn't have. But I didn't see anybody be mean or ugly. They may have turned around and went, shh. They're trying to help me out. But I'm not ashamed that I love that person. And I'm glad that this church is not ashamed that they love that person. And instead of trying to expose everything about her, we need to prove to her that there's a God in heaven that can fulfill what it is she's trying to find in that substance. We better move on. He was unselfish in his love. The Bible says in verse number 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. Now, Onesiphorus lived in Ephesus. And this man traveled and sacrificed, and he went to trouble to find somebody that needed some encouragement and refreshing. If you know anything about geography, you understand that this was a long journey from Ephesus to Rome. And no doubt, a great deal of expense, but the Bible says he came to Rome, he sought me out very diligently. In other words, he came looking for me from Ephesus because he knew I was in prison in Rome, and he came and he found me. He paid the price. He put forth the effort. He did what it took. And he came to where I was. He found me. He sought me out. And he found me. So many Christians are just sitting around today. And I feel like, you know, they just have pity parties. And they say that nobody loves them. Well, get out of the house and go love somebody. Get out of the house and go find somebody to be a blessing to and to be an encouragement to and to be a help to. Now, I know some people physically are not able. And I know some people otherwise are not able. But if God's given you health and God's given you strength, don't sit around the house feeling sorry for yourself. Go find somebody to be a blessing to. There's many people out there. Be unselfish in that love. It may take some traveling, it may take some effort, it may take some sacrifice, it costs a little bit of money. And the way we're going, just to go down the street, it's costing a lot of money now, if you drive. But I praise God for the Christian that has a love in their heart, and they're just so full of God's great salvation that it makes you feel good to be around them. This world is dying for this. You know, they're looking for somebody to love them. And I want to tell you, the only person that can love them the way they need to be loved is Christ. And Christ is in us. Paul said, for he ought to refresh me. He was not ashamed of my chain. But when he's in Rome, he sought me out diligently and he found me. He refreshed me. He took some time. He made a journey. He paid the price. He put forth the effort. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. It wasn't just down the street, but he made a journey because he knew where Paul was, and he searched him out diligently, and he found him. There's many of us tonight that can think of somebody that needs some Christian love. We ought to try to go give it to him. But I like this last thought. He was unmovable in his Lord. The Bible says in verse number 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, Paul wasn't questioning here whether this man would make it to the end or not, or that he was afraid that he might let up. But Paul's statement here, if you study this out, you're going to find it was a statement of assurance that this dear brother Onesiphorus would be ready to meet God when that day came. That's the way it reads. It's the way it understands. This man was saved apparently in Ephesus. And he had been a faithful worker in the church there, and he had visited the Apostle Paul in Rome. He was an unmovable Christian. Boy, when he got saved, he said, I'm in this thing. Of course, he loved Paul because I would say that Paul had a big part in his coming to know Christ as Savior, wouldn't you? There's no doubt about it. He was a great influence in Paul's life. But I think about through the years how we've seen so many come and go. We've seen people that get religion and lose it. They get religion. They don't get a relationship. They get religion. And they lose it. I've seen many people that will use religion in the church as a spare tire. And when they have a blowout in life, you're going to find them there. You listen to what I'm saying. I'm just telling you the truth about something tonight. There's a lot of people that the only time they make their way to church faithfully is when something tragic's going on in their life. Well, I want you to know that's pathetic. Onesiphorus wasn't that way. He was unmovable in his Lord. I have no doubt that he was faithful to his church there in Ephesus. He was faithful to this dear man of God, the Apostle Paul, that had influenced his life and God had used in a great and mighty way. He didn't use God just when he needed him. He lived for the Lord. I thank God for those unmovable saints. They're saved by the grace of God. They're planted on the rock of ages. The Bible says they're like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. They just can't be moved. Amen? The Bible says, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know what the Bible tells me tonight? The Bible teaches me I ought to be refreshing to others. And the way I can do that is being an unmovable Christian. Unmovable in the Lord. I believe that's the only way somebody could ever really be a blessing is to have the blessed assurance that we're saved, that heaven's going to be our home. You know, when I talk to somebody, I need to talk to them with the assurance that I know whom I have believed, right? You know, I don't need to go to somebody that's going through a trouble and say, you know, I think God might can help you through this. There's a possibility. You know, God might. I want to tell you something. There's not one problem that God can't handle. Amen. There's no mountain too tall or no valley so deep that God's not able. And so when I speak to somebody, I don't need to be reluctant to say, I have a God that can help you. And He will. Amen. If you will just surrender to Him. By the way, that goes for the lost as well as the saved. And I've been through the valleys, and I've been on the mountaintops. I'm going to tell you something. I've went through some valleys. My wife and I have been through valleys where we went at it alone. We didn't have that person that just came up to us, and we didn't share it. Things sometimes that we may have been facing or going through. But it's obvious. Things are obvious. And you need to keep your eye open. Ladies, help ladies. Men, help men. And by the way, it ought to be done that way. That's a smart thing. But be a refreshing Christian. Let's just determine that's what we're going to do. If somebody was writing a book about their life, right to somebody else. Let it be said. Miss Marietta came by to see me today. Ann writes to her daughter. I was kind of down. But Miss Marietta came by and she refreshed me. It's wonderful to be able to say that, isn't it? Hasn't the Lord sent somebody your way and just refreshed you? We've been through some valleys, and somebody had come up and put their arm around me. And sometimes they wouldn't say anything about what was going through, but they'd say, I love you. You know how far that goes? That goes a long way. Sometimes it gives you the strength to make it through the valley. For he oft refreshed me. Father, we thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray that we've been helped tonight and encouraged by this man named Onesiphorus. We don't know a whole lot about his life, not a whole lot, Lord. But we know that he was a source of blessing. Lord, we believe that since the beginning, that you've told your children to be a blessing to others. Help me to be a blessing to our folks here, our family. Help us not to stand in condemnation, ever in condemnation of others. But Lord, help us to stand faithfully in the Word of God, encouraging others, and if reproof is needed, reproving in love. Being an example of what a Christian ought to be. Help us to be like Onesiphorus. And help others to be able to say, for he oft refreshed me. Well, thank you for what you do. And help us to respond as you've spoken to our heart. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation.